Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very, very, very much for being here. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out. It's Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. Today, we are going into the part two of our inspection strategies for the first 60 days. As you probably have already figured out, we ran a little bit long yesterday. I really enjoy doing those like longer hour and a half type episodes. The problem with them is I really don't have the time. Like I need to be in the bee yard. I need to be doing videos and updating our course and getting the modules of the course finalized. And just there's so much to do. But as anyone who has been listening for more than about 2 weeks knows, I do like to talk and I can keep going and I get a little excited sometimes. So what we're going to do is we're going to rejoin the second half of yesterday's episode right now. We'll roll right on through that all the way to the end. So let's go ahead and jump back in. Okay, so briefly, I do want to talk about some things that are of a real concern, things you need to be paying attention to. If you go in for an inspection, and it's maybe your first inspection, you don't see eggs, you know, new package of bees, I'm not worried about that because they're going to need to get the queen released. They've got to draw some comb for her. They've got to prepare it, make sure everything is right for her. You know, the senior nurse bee in charge gives the thumbs up. The queen then starts laying. So if you go in for your first inspection, don't see any eggs, don't worry. But I do want to see them the next time. I mean, you're 2 weeks in now. I need to see that. If that spotty brood continues, if you are constantly seeing the spotty brood, I'm really getting concerned. I'm concerned that there is either something wrong with the queen. Sometimes an inadequately mated queen will not lay well and she doesn't behave the same way. And it really introduces a lot of challenges for the colony. But a lot of it can be health related. There can be some type of disease that is inside the brood that is being passed, you know, from generation to generation, basically. And you know, through the nurse bees, through feeding. And so there are some things that I really start to get concerned with when I see consistent spotty brood. I don't do my mite washes when I first get a package of bees. I treat them right away. And I will have a video coming out. I did my Varroa treatments the other day on my colonies. And God, I just so much to do. I need to get that video out and show you guys. But what I will typically end up doing is I will treat all of them with oxalic acid before they even lay their first eggs, or at least before they're capped. So that's all been done with all six of the colonies that I'm having, you know, that I have here at the house right now. And I will get that video out probably, I'll just say within the next 2 weeks, because I have no idea when I'm actually going to get to it. But once my new workers are being, you know, born, once they start to emerge from this initial group of these packages, I've got to start doing my mite checks. I want to know how many mites came with the packages. I want to know how many of them. I want to get an accurate count of what I'm starting with so I can continue treating. But I want to know, is this just hygienic behavior, you know, from my bees? Is there something else going on? Do I need to continue supplemental feeding them to give them a little bit more of a boost? So you just pay attention to the spotty brood thing, because again, it's not something you want to have consistently over time. No population growth. This is a scary thing. This is a bad thing. This is not something that is normal. You should be seeing explosive growth, especially if you're a few weeks in now. You know, you're 3-4 weeks in on a package of bees that started with 10,000 and it might be down around 3,000 or 4,000 before those first workers emerge. But remember, your queen is laying somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 eggs a day. So to put that into perspective, once those first workers start to emerge and they draw up and they have sufficient comb space for that queen to lay, you're going to be replacing that package of bees by numbers every like 5, 7, 10 days. Within 2 weeks, you're going to be in a really good spot. So here you are now, I say 2 weeks of the beginning of the emergence. So remember, you started at day one, probably 25 days in, you're getting your first workers. And then another 2 weeks beyond that. So you're probably right around day 40. You should have a really thriving young colony. If you're not getting growth and you're not seeing a lot of new bees emerging and a lot of expansion, that's problematic. If you don't have some food stores already put away and incoming nectar, incoming pollen, that's problematic. And then, of course, anything that is visible disease symptoms. If you see bees that appear to be alive but not able to move, or you look at them and you can see that their wings appear to be very deformed. The bees look really dark and shiny. They are moving in a strange way, or they're just a big group of them all of a sudden is dead. Now, there was somebody who mentioned the other day, like, hey, I had this big group of bees dead, you know, right in front of the hive. Is this normal? And I think they said it was right after a couple of days of rain. So you've got foragers that are out there foraging. They're working in the environment. Foragers are dying every day. You know, you're going to lose somewhere between about 250 and maybe 650, 700 bees a day at the peak. When, you know, once the thing I always say, you know, when bees start flying, bees start dying, right? When they become a forager and they're stuck flying every day and they're using all that energy, you're just sucking the life right out of those bees and they're going to die. So if they are inside the hive and the temperature gets low and it gets cold and it gets rainy, then it is very probable you're going to have a lot of them die inside the hive versus outside. So the next sunny day, very normal to see a lot of bees being discarded out the front door. Perfectly normal activity. Okay, so swarm signs that you're going to look for during the inspection. I did cover this. I had a separate note for it because there was something else I just wanted to kind of key in on. But remember when we talk about the queen cups to me are a good thing because if I find queen cups, I know where to look for queen cells. Now, how you document or keep track of your queen cups is completely up to you. Option number one, you just don't do anything. You don't worry about it because every time you go in, you're looking on that brood space and you're just going to find them. And I think that's okay. But remember that sometimes they can be pretty sneaky and tricky in the ways, places, and location with which they choose to hide their queen cups. So if you would like, and again, do it however works for you. I'm doing the voice to text memo. I launch the memo and I say, I'm here in Hive 7, frame 3 on the left side because I'm inspecting from the same side. So I know left and right in my notes. Frame 3 from the left side has two queen cells or queen cups near the bottom. Frame 5 has one that is more developed, not charged, about a third of the way up in the middle. And I can just make a couple notes like that. And then you play your notes back or you review your notes before you go into that hive. Or if you have it somehow like on your phone, which leads me, I am going to get a couple hive monitoring people talking about hive monitoring apps. We're going to bring them in to talk about that to help you figure out a solution that might help, you know, organize things for you a little bit better. But when you go into that knowing, okay, I have 5 queen cups right now and they are both or all of them are on frames 3 and 5. You just know you're going to go in, you're going to take a look. Okay, here they are. Yep. And that can make it easier. You can take a marker and put a dot or an X or an arrow on top of the frame. There's lots of different things people do. And you can just find a system that works for you. You know, this is one of my favorite things about beekeeping, and I'm going to harp on something that I say a lot, but it is important to me, so that's why we're doing this whole thing. You do what you want to do, okay? And when I'm saying that, I mean specifically, I would love for you to be surrounded by great people giving you good advice. And I think that when I look online and I watch a couple of YouTube videos here and there and see what other people are doing, I think there are a lot of really great people who are really bright and who put out some good content. I think there are some people that maybe don't put out the best, but you know, it's really easy to scrutinize somebody else. Like I was looking at my videos when I was editing the other day and I was doing the first inspection video and I'm sorry, I was doing the package installation video and I was watching myself and I'm like, put the cover on, put the inner cover on, put it on, go. Go. I was going so slow. And I deliberately did this because I wanted to make sure I was conveying to you, you do not have to rush. Like you don't have to be in a hurry. And you saw it in the video. I took my time. I was very gentle with the bees. The bees were gentle with me. I wasn't using any smoke. Everything was going great. That's kind of not how I usually am a lot faster than what you saw in the video. But the reason I went as slow as I did is I wanted you to see. It was important to me that you saw how calm, slow, and deliberate, just how effective that can be in beekeeping. So that applies to everything else that you're doing here. Take the information that I give you. Take the information other people give you. And nod your head and say, okay, cool, thank you, I appreciate that. Catalog it away in your, you know, mental archive or whatever, but do what you want to do. If you go into a hive and you say, I think that I am going to make a note about this or make a note about that, or I'm going to draw a picture on the front of the hive. Or maybe you like to take your hive notes on a piece of duct tape on top of the hive. I have seen so many people slap a big old piece of duct tape on. They write the date. They use little abbreviations for things. You might put like the letter Q. I don't want to mess around with that. Okay, I'll do it anyway. You put a Q on it, and then you say, you know, the date, and you say Q plus. So you're like, okay, I saw the queen on this date, right? You can, whatever kind of abbreviations or little things you want to do to make your life easier, as I throw everything on the floor here, just do it. If it makes your life easier, if it makes your life better, and it's helping the bees, do it. And there are going to be things where, like, we've got some folks in the Discord room right now who are talking about creative ideas they're having and different things that they're doing. And, you know, we got a guy in there now who's like, hey, I'm building all my boxes from scratch. Cool. Absolutely. Make custom things. You don't want the frames to be made to the Langstroth standard? Then make your own, right? I love that. That's the creative spirit of human beings. You don't have to have AI tell you to do it this way. You don't have to have a company that says, we sell frames that are this size and boxes that are this size, and that's all you can do. Do what you want to do. Do it your way. Explore things and, you know, just find what's comfortable for you. Now, a lot of times I will tell you, hey, this is what I do. This is what I recommend. This is what someone else does. It's a good guide. It is only meant to serve as a guide. And if you want to do it differently, then you do it differently. So the next thing that I have on my list is something that I just already kind of touched on. I got ahead of myself, but I get a little excited sometimes. But it is about the records. And I just wanted to tell you some things. I am going to be producing. I gotta pull back here. So I have the app that I'm working on. Inside of that app, I'm loading it up with a lot of things that I think are going to be really, really useful. And these aren't things that I'm like, you got to go spend money on my app if you want to get these things. That's not how I roll, man. I want those things in the app. So when somebody is standing in the bee yard, they can pull the app up and say, oh, okay, this is this thing right here. And they can look at it on the app and they've got it with them. I am not withholding things, you know, from people. You're not going to get everything. I mean, it doesn't make sense to give you everything. But the things that I want you to have that are really important to me is like that checklist that I just did the other day. I'm really happy with that. I like that it gives that nice overview. Hey, before you walk out the door, here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to have. But the other thing that I'm doing is I'm putting together full hive inspection checklists. And this is going to tell you everything you need to be looking for. And I've set it up to be, it's not fully done yet, but it'll be done in the next week. It is set up to be more of like a checkbox kind of thing where you can then also make notes. Because if you just have blank notes and you have to write, like Phoebe and I used to do in the old days, we would go in and we would write EOQ, eyes on queen. We put our eyes on the queen, we saw the queen, or we might do EOQ plus or EOQ minus. And we had all these different abbreviations. I feel bad that I don't remember all of them right now, but that was how we operated. It was a system that her and I used. And what I love is I have people, especially my buddy Rick up in Manitoba, but I have people who have, Rick sent me a video a couple of years ago and it was like, hey, I'm doing this inspection. This is what I'm doing. Oh, EOQ, I got the eyes on the queen. And I've had a couple of people do that. And I think that's kind of fun and cool to be able to see and to be a part of that. But anyway, the records are just like everything else, but it's not one of those just do whatever you want to do or just record whatever you want to record. There are things that you're going to want to record and keep track of that I think you're going to find to be pretty mandatory. And I'm going to give you a short list of things that I think you should be putting in your notes. And then I'll also just kind of give you a quick update on a couple of methods. And then we're going to get towards wrapping things up, I think.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want. And reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Always have the date, Well, before I go into that, I'm going to put together that list, and that list is going to be something you can do, you know, by colony. You can actually take that if you handwrite it cleanly. You should be able to take that and then import it into an AI thing to have it, you know, bring it into a spreadsheet for you if you want or whatever. Or you can handwrite your notes and then dictate them back into a voice memo. And again, have AI put it into spreadsheets. I did a video on this already. It's called like ChatGPT plus $17 mic, never take Hive notes again, something like that. That's one of the methods that I use. I'm going to do an updated shorter version of that one because in that video, I was also doing some mic testing, which was kind of a bad idea. I was doing two things at once. So I am going to make an abbreviated version of that video, but it's not going to happen like in the next couple of weeks. There's a lot going on. But the checklist I'm going to provide is going to have all of these things in it. So you don't need to write it down. You don't need to take notes. You'll just be able to download this checklist here in the coming weeks. I'm also making a labeling system, something that you could print and you could just laminate it. And I use these laminated cards. I'm going to start using them again. Right now, I'm just using the livestock, like livestock tags. And that's how I've got all of my hives numbered. And that's how I'm tracking them. But I do separate cards for both hives and for my queens. So if I move a queen to a different location, the queen card follows her. So we'll talk about a few different ways you can label your hives and all of that, which would be a really good idea for a subsequent episode. But you want to make sure you're capture the date of the inspection. I like to put weather conditions. So temperature, you know, is it sunny, cloudy? Is it foggy? You know, whatever's going on with the weather, capture the date. And then you want to go through, do I see eggs, larvae, developing brood? What is the stages of those? And again, these can be checkboxes. I've got eggs, I've got larvae, I've got brood. And then feeding status, actively feeding, not feeding, box additions. Are you adding a honey super? Are you adding another brood box? Any concerns that you might have, you know, within what you observed? Queen cells present, any disease, evidence of any disease, any evidence of any small hive beetle. As soon as you start seeing things like small hive beetles, start making notes of that right away so that you can remember when they showed up. Evidence of wax moth, evidence of anything that seems to be a concern. You can literally put everything you see and are thinking of in there, and like in a voice memo, and you could leverage a capability online to say, here's all the stuff I saw. Can you put the important things into a spreadsheet? But again, keep the notes short. You don't have to write a dissertation or anything, just enough to get the point across. And if you're not into, you know, the digital ways of doing things or whatever, again, you can take this sheet that I'm going to make available for you and you can just print that off and put the hive number and the date on the top and just go through check, check, check all the way down. You can keep it as simple as putting a memo on your phone. You can just open up your phone if you have an iPhone, do a text memo, and just keep track of it like that. Maybe you transcribe it later, maybe you don't. Whatever works for you, by all means, have at it. Oh, another thing, I had a note that I forgot to mention, and I do want to mention this again. I have been meaning to say this for years. So if you are in upstate New York, and you are familiar with the Adirondack, or the Southern Adirondack Beekeepers Association, a few years ago, I saw on their website where they put the Beekeeping for Newbies podcast as a recommended source for beekeeping information. And I have been meaning for years to reach out to them and to thank them. So if you are a member there, you know somebody who is, or you know anybody in the leadership over there, please feel free to tell them thank you on my behalf. I greatly appreciate them mentioning the podcast on the website. And I hope everybody in the far north is excited about the upcoming spring and the activities that are forthcoming there in the north. Actually, my newest son-in-law is from upstate New York, and I'm not going to give away the town. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want him to start becoming a celebrity or anything. But anyway, I wanted to send a thank you to the folks of the Southern Adirondack Beekeepers Association. All right, everybody. So quick wrap up here for about 30 seconds. I want you to make sure that you have a plan when you're going in to do your inspections over the next couple months. Have a plan, have a purpose, stay on schedule, be calm. I'm going to include the link to the package install video in here. I'm working on putting together my first inspection video. I've got it recorded. I just don't have it, you know, edited yet. But I'll get all of those out. But the reason that I want you to take a peek at that is, again, slow, calm. You don't have to rush. Okay, I have no information available about the next upcoming episodes because I have about 20 or 30 of them planned. And every time I say, hey, this is going to be the next one, something tends to come up. I am really head down right now in this app. I'm pretty excited about it, guys. When it first was brought up to me, when the company first approached me and said, hey, listen, this is what we're doing, and we've got all these other creators, and we're doing a big launch event, and we would love for you to be a part of this. At first I was like, oh boy, here we go. You know, somebody's selling me a widget or whatever. Somebody's trying to sell me something. And I said, let me see what's going on with the app. I was diving into it, playing around, and I started seeing the way that it was adapting, and I started seeing some of the things that it can do. And the beautiful thing about it that I really, truly like is as I was in it, I saw something I didn't like. And I said, well, no, that's not right. In fact, we'll take a little sidebar here. I'll tell you exactly what it was. I had made a comment and I said, you have to have protective gear. You need to make sure that you are protecting yourself. And this is all embedded into like the blueprint of my app. And I said, but if nothing else, you at least have to have a veil. Like the veil would be the most important thing that you would have in that situation. And I worded it wrong. I worded it in a way that made it sound like the most important beekeeping tool you can have is a veil. So then as I was going through and I'm testing and I'm evaluating everything, there was a quiz and it was like, what is the most important thing that you can have as a beekeeper? And it had like hive tool, smoker, veil, right? And veil was the right answer. And I like locked up the brakes. I was like, hold on, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I went in and I found what I had said and I realized I completely said that in a way where the app interpreted my instructions in that way. And then I fixed it and then that was okay. So it's things like that, those kind of little goofy bugs that I'm working on and I'm working through. But if you happen to get in there and you're playing around with it and you know you see something weird like that, by all means, please let me know because I can log in. I can go right into the blueprint for the full app and I can go ahead and I can modify things, change things and get things updated pretty much on the fly. But I mean, I've got custom videos in there of a ton of things like equipment walkthroughs, hive inspections, different feeder options, assembling frames, assembling hive bodies. There's just a whole bunch of kind of neat things in there. The one thing I'm really looking forward to testing is I have a beautiful foul brood frame, which I don't think those two things exactly go together, but it is a foul brood frame that is just gross and nasty. I want to take this as I'm running through my testing and see if I can get it to upload a foul brood frame and say, hey, I see this frame inside my hive. It looks a little funny. What do you think? And then see if it comes back and says, oh, crap, you've got foul brood. Because like I said earlier with the thing with the wax moth, I mean, it popped up and it was like, hey, now it could have been small hive beetle, could have been small hive beetle too. But again, it had a place for you to upload the picture. So if you upload the picture, and it can then look at it and be like, oh, that's not small hive beetle, that is wax moth, or vice versa. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that and seeing how that goes. And my plan is as soon as that gets released, I'm rolling right into kind of the next intermediate portion of that one. That way, when you finish up the beekeeping fundamentals, you can roll right into the intermediate. I'll roll into the advanced and we'll get those things, finished up this year. But I want you guys to know I appreciate you and I enjoy having the chance to work with you. It's a lot of fun. I think that this app is going to be really cool. I'm enjoying testing it out and I really want to see just how far I can push it. At the beginning, I think it's got 12 modules with lots of lessons underneath of it. But I still want to continue adding content. As I bring in the intermediate and advanced course, I want to move things around and I want to expand on them. And I think it's a really, really neat way to be able to be doing an inspection, be in the apiary, and have this device that can capture some things. It can be used as a library for resources, and it's all in the palm of your hand, which, I'm still a desktop laptop kind of guy. I like to be sitting down at my laptop. When I walk out of the house, I like to not have my phone because I just kind of like the freedom of being in the world. All right, everybody, the rant is over. We have a lot going on. Feel free to join us over in the Discord room. The link to that, all the links to everything that is associated with me is in the description of everything I do. It's in the podcast. It's in the YouTube channel. So what you're going to see is the link to the bestbeekeepinggear.com. I have not been posting a lot in there for obvious reasons this year, but we do have some gear recommendations in there. We've got a lot on Varroa. So if you're brand new to Varroa and treatment options, go to bestbeekeepinggear.com. We have some write-ups over there that I think will be really useful. Of course, the regular Beekeeping for Newbies website. If you are a veteran, first responder, check out Hives for Heroes. There are links to them on our website as well. They've got a lot of resources there. I have some really great friends and people who are a part of the organization. If you need help getting connected with somebody, please let me know. I'm really looking forward to continuing to grow and expand our relationship with them. But as always, you can definitely message us in the Discord room. The link to that is on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. It is inside of every episode. And if there is something that you need, I'm in the bee yard every day. There is something that I'm doing in the yard every day. And if you have a question, hey, I'm not really sure how this is done. Can you give me a clip? Can you help me out with that? We can usually do that. So I think I may have lied to you here inadvertently. I do have my list over here for some upcoming episodes. So we're going to be talking about understanding bee forage. We're going to be going through and talking about a lot of the specifics around forage and why diverse forage is important and some of those things. Not so much about if you live in wherever Nebraska, you're going to see these four things. It's not that kind of thing. It's more just understanding it from a nutritional standpoint and just how important that it is. We talked about our inspection strategies for the first, 30 to 60 days. We're going to go into some swarm prevention basics. This should be a relatively straightforward episode because we've talked about a lot of that already. And then I do want to go into your Varroa plan. I do want to talk about this because it's just so critically important. There are some new things on the market this year, like Noroa and a couple things that we should probably talk about with that. And we also need to be looking at, and then this one popped up the other day, and it's tracheal mites. And I thought, geez, we've never talked about it. And a lot of times there are things that are treatments for Varroa that are working on the tracheal mites as well. And really, Varroa stole a lot of the thunder away from the tracheal mites, but they are still something that can occur. And I want to just, if nothing else, I just want to talk to you about some signs, some symptoms, things to look for. There are some very telltale things that are associated with tracheal mites. So I wanted to talk to you about that as well. We're going to do an episode on pests and predators. We're going to talk about, should you expand and when to. I've already got a couple things on here about swarm trapping. So we've done that one. Tropolalapse is on our list here. I have one of them that's on my way out list, but it's a really neat thing that I want to talk about. There is a thing called usurpation. Usurpation is this practice of basically a colony that is in place and operational, and a new colony comes in, basically like they swarm the place. They take out the other queen, they install their queen, and they say, hi, our queen is now in charge. And everybody's like, okay. So usurpation is something that I've heard about for years in very casual talk, in a very casual sense. And I came across an article. I was doing research, and I came across something like 3 or 4 months ago. And I thought, well, this would be a really good topic because I've had people tell me like, hey, I have a colony and I was doing my inspection the other day and I have my yellow marked queen. And I went back out like 10 days later and did an inspection and she's gone and there's a different queen in there and everything looks great. And so that is absolutely something that can happen, but it's not really like the most frequent occurrence in a lot of places. But I do want to talk about that. I'm not a usurpation expert, but there were some really cool articles and information around it that I want to make sure that I'm sharing with you. I think we might do a dedicated episode on that. So that is kind of the stack ranking of some upcoming episodes. I would really like to still do something this Thursday. It's going to be a little bit hectic and crazy. So I'm going to do like I did last week. We're going to go ahead and get the first piece released today on Monday. And then I will release the second part, going midnight tomorrow. That way you can watch them back to back or listen to them back to back. And then we'll see what we can pull off for Thursday. All right, everybody, I have got to get to work. I've got so much to do and so little time. So take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer, or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in, all with the style you want and reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG Appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.